have to start the and I hear some members talk about whether or not 2009, but we should still think if we have a long agenda, issues are outstanding from the last meeting. We are continuing with the rest of the issues.
It's a practical session that we do have that begins to take us forward with our work. Mr. Chauke has tendered an apology that he is on his way. We do not have any other apology. Oh yes, we have an apology from the Minister and the Deputy Minister. The Minister will be attending a joint cabinet meeting. And the Deputy Minister. And also the Deputy Minister shall be attending a joint cabinet committee meeting. We note the apology of the Minister in our last committee meeting, that she was not attending the meeting due to ill health. We would, in fact, we always insist that whenever we have any such an apology, we get the doctor's note. Without that doctor's note, if anybody is reported ill, that apology falls away. We shall then have to accordingly alter our minutes for that day. If there is no such a doctor's note, there is no apology. I hope that is in order for all of us going forward. We do get apologies from some of us who are ill, and those apologies are accompanied by those doctor's notes. The issues that we're dealing with today, they've got to do with the responses to the findings of the Auditor General. And the contestation thereof by the department on the findings and the report of the Auditor General. And we also have those outstanding issues of falling off from our last meeting. And then of course the report on oversight by our committee in Limpopo. We might just not be able to adopt any minutes or reports, depending on how far we go with our meeting. Maybe let's start off, DG, and members, with the first issue that talks to the AG's office. You see, we did talk about this matter in our earlier meetings related to the extent in which we would seek to undermine the Chapter 9 institution. In fact, members, when you undermine and contest a Chapter 9 institution, yes, you have the right to do that by way of a court in the case of a public protector's report, wherein the courts may resolve But when you are going to go out there and be in the public domain and contesting and undermining the independence and the role of a Chapter 9 institution, there is a problem. In effect, you are actually challenging the Constitution itself when you are to undermine that Chapter 9 institution. Now that's the danger in which we really have to have at the back of our minds as and when we continue with our work. And when we start doing that, we should equally tell ourselves that there's a danger looming out there. I just thought, let me, having been thinking about this and also reading and following certain events countrywide, that when we are to engage in an exercise that seeks to wash away, I'm aware that I'm using strong words here guardedly, two words that I'm using, wish away or undermining. There a problem, a bigger problem is looming. I just thought, accounting officer, let me just make those few words as we proceed with our work. We did engage on this subject matter in our last meeting and agreed that the minister has to be present, but unfortunately she has tendered her apology. But still, even there, I would have really, if I were the minister, I would have really prioritized Parliament, given the gravity of the issues that we are dealing with as they pertain to the Office of the Auditor General. If I were her, I would have really prioritized, I repeat, the work of Parliament, so that these issues are not hanging forever. Granted, the accounting officer is here. Ultimately, the buck stops with him. Yes, the statements were made by the minister. As a result, it would have been prudent on us that we allow the minister herself to be the one who would have commented in response to some of the issues that we are to deal with. I thought, let me just open with those few words, and then if members have any things to say or comment. Mr. Basson?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I agree with you that, and I don't think we should even consider that. The minister made the comments, and I think it would be wrong for us to ask the acting DG, to comment on what the minister has said. However, maybe he should give us background if he's got the knowledge why the minister said that, and what is the way forward he sees from the department to deal with the matter, excluding the fact that the minister needs to come and explain for herself.
Are we having any further comments? Okay, welcome, Mrs. Manana. We did get your apology. So, Miss Miss Manana, sorry, I'm so used to the Mrs. So Miss Manana, you are welcome with your apology having been noted that you were running late. Welcome, Mama Kaula. Okay, you want to comment, did you?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honorable members and colleagues. Chair, my comment is it has never been an intention of the department to undermine the office of the Auditor General. But I'll comment more on the way forward. Last week we reported that the minister is going to have a meeting with the AG, and the meeting has been confirmed for 6 o'clock tonight. And I will be part of that meeting tonight. And we will, as a department, have a formal response after the meeting between the DG, between the AG and the minister, so that we can have a comprehensive response on the matter and hopefully close the matter. Because, as I'm indicating, Chair, it's never been an intention of the department to undermine the office of the AG. And we are committed to work with the AG. But in terms of the comments that the minister made, I'm sure the minister will respond to that. But we want to, the issue of the issues that we were contesting with the AG, we're hopeful that tonight we'll have a final issue on it and move on. Because even if there was an issue where we're not happy in terms of the findings of the AG, but there must be finality on it. We can't have an open-ended contestation on it. So in our next meeting next week, Chair, this matter, I'm hopefully it will be closed, and we'll provide a report in terms of the document that we have received from your office. But the minister, in her capacity, will formally respond in terms of the comments that were made publicly. Thank you.
I tell you that we shall have to await that meeting and also the minister accordingly coming back to our committee for a response to some of the issues raised and the concerns raised by this committee of parliament. Are we fine with that? Okay. I would have really loved that we start off with the outstanding issues of our last meeting, which we never concluded upon. Granted, those issues have got to do with the AG's report, whether or not we continue, given the fact that we've just had that feedback from the DG, but also we did, where is that the correspondence? We also did write formally to the minister and the department as part of a follow-up on the last issues raised that we start off with those issues. Madi has trained to... Oh yeah, there you go. Part of those issues that we needed to make a follow-up on, which the department did receive a letter requesting such. Number one were the names and the contractual agreements of all the staff in the office of the ministry. This we do as part of our oversight responsibility. This is a department, this is also a follow-up on the organogram that we had tabled by the department. Also the names and the agreements entered into between the department and the Deputy Director General, and also the charges leveled against the DGs and the DG, and then of course also the SCOPA recommendations. And then the last two had to do or have to do with the Office of the Auditor General and the Limpopo oversight visit. I tell you that the DG has captured those, and those are issues that are simple and straightforward that have to be responded to before we get on to, maybe that would be the first one, and then the second one, in fact, if you like, how the program has been structured here is taken care of by all the issues raised. Members, if you have any other issues you raise that have been omitted, feel free. We're fine. Okay, DG?
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm going to take you through our responses in line with the letter that we received, dated 19 February. The first issue is about the submission of names and contractual agreements of all staff in the ministry. We have provided it in a tabular form, listing all the staff in the ministry, both in the office of the minister as well as in the office of the deputy minister. In terms of the people that are there, we have the chief of staff, we have the cabinet secretary, we have a media liaison officer, private secretary, advisor. All in all, in the office of the minister, there are 11 posts, there are 11 people that are there. And we have indicated in the table whether these people are permanent or on contract, and also the location, since the both minister and deputy minister have two offices, one in Cape Town as one in Pretoria. Also in the office of the deputy minister, there are 6 posts, and we have indicated the people who are in that office. So I hope we did get that page detailing that information. Next information I'm going to talk to is about the information about DDGs, their qualifications, who are they. We have 9 DDGs, and we have listed their qualifications and those who are acting. Also, we have provided that in a tabular format. In terms of acting, there are 3 people who are acting. I'm the Chief Financial Officer, but I'm acting as a DG. Then in my position, Rebecca Nkomo, who's the Chief Director, is acting as a CFO, and we have listed her qualifications in the second page. In regulation, Thokoza Gwaza is acting in the post of Anil Singh, who's currently serving a suspension. And Mr. Paul Nell, in the second page as well, we have listed his qualifications. Who is acting as a CFO, since we reported in our last meeting that the CFO, Mr. Mpokeng, resigned in December. Then in the issue of the charges, we are requested to provide a copy of the charges leveled against Advocate Singh, who is the Deputy Director of Regulations. We have provided that as Annex 3. the full, all the charges that were leveled against him. Then the issue of the charges of the DG, the former DG, Mr. Mashitisho. Members, as you all know, Mr. Mashitisho has left the department. I did seek an opinion on the matter whether to discuss his charges here, since we had a settlement with him. And part of the charges were, I mean, his charges were part of the settlement that were agreed with him. And I was advised that I would need to get his consent in terms of discussing those charges in the portfolio committee. We did had a copy of them, but with that opinion, then we had to not put it as part of the pack here, because I asked the legal services to get that consent so that you can discuss it, because it was part of the settlement. Also, Mr. Mofokeng is no longer in the department, so also it was part of the settlement in terms of him leaving the department. And the last matter is the documentation that we submitted to the SCOPA. We provided the documents that we made available to SCOPA. Will be appearing there next week. Mainly, they ask for information on irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure, accruals and commitment, deviation and expansion for the financial year 2016-17. In the main, we have put that information in a presentation format in terms of, like, the first part is irregular expenditure. We put a table there. That show how much is our irregular expenditure for 2016-17, as well as fruitless and wasteful expenditure, accruals, as well as commitments. Then, Chair, in terms of the portfolio committee oversight that we're going to discuss as well, I did bring the provincial heads of both Limpopo and Mpumalanga, as well as the CE of Lepelle Northern Water, since they are operating in that space in Limpopo. So when the report is presented, then they're going to do the presentation or the responses on the issues that were raised on the oversight report. I will pause for now, Chair. Thank you very much.
Any comments? Mr. Basso noted, Mr. Makondo.
Chairperson. Just one thing on the charge sheet of Mr. Singh. I really wanted to find out what triggered the disciplinary inquiry into Mr. Singh, because these dates when it happened was in 2016. So if you found out that they did not do anything that he should have done, why wasn't he charged earlier on this matter? Why didn't the acting DG deal with this matter as early as April 2016? And secondly, my question is that if there was a motion, I just want to get clarity on it, if there was a letter going out to the boards, isn't it practice that it goes out via the DG's office and not a DDG's office, or it goes out from the minister's office, if we can get clarity on that?
Thanks, Chair. Uh,
Chair, I want to ask a question as to what recourse that the Parliament has if people come here and not tell the truth. What recourse do we have as Parliament? It may be an issue that you may wish to take, or I mean, to take it up with legal unit here in Parliament, just to understand what then Parliament can do if we have that particular situation. I'm raising this issue, Chair, because I dispute what the DG is saying in relation to the former Director General that relates to his charges, the settlement and all those things. To me, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense if you say this particular official has been charged, then we have an information that the information that the official has been transferred to a cocktail department. Then you come here and tell us that we have reached a settlement. What settlement? Can we be given that settlement so that we look into it, the content of it? Because that can't be true, that there is a settlement with the former Director General. And I call that a lie, Chair. That's why I'm saying, what recourse do we have as members of Parliament if a departmental official comes to Parliament and tell a lie, under oath. So you may pursue that with legal, Chair. The other issue relates to your Director General DG. The structure, it's bloated at that particular level. Can I then be specific, just to understand, Chair, in 2016, how many DGs did the department have? I know that you had around six DGs at that time, and now you have got almost 9 or 10. Yeah, I think it's 9. Which ones are new appointees? And to be specific, Chair, which ones are new and just recently appointed? I was of the view that the Deputy Director Generals, they will normally head branches in the department. Then if it's not so, can we be educated in relation to that, Chair? Thanks.
Mr. Mguni.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Morning, ladies and gentlemen. I was looking at the... Where is that thing? Yeah. I was looking at this... Is it a duty list or a qualification? When do we say a person has got a qualification? If that can be specified to me. Are we saying a person has got a qualification after completing a course or before completing a course? So that we can look, I can get a directive on that one. I've been looking at the meaning at Mr. Singh's charges here. What is the meaning of fraud? What is the meaning of fraud? So that you can get it directly, so that you can understand, because we just put these issues fraud and we fail to to look at the meaning itself. And let me put my meaning so that you understand fraud. Fraud is a criminal deception intended to result in financial and personal gain. Criminal activity. The intention is for you to have what? Benefit. You understand? Then you look at what is happening in the case of Mr. Singh, and then you try and relate on those things, then you give me the answer. I'm still looking at this charge because I just got it. I did not look it well. I'm still conceptualizing the time Mr. Singh was acting, and he had to sign some directives, and some of them are saying no, he was not supposed to do those things when he was acting. And at some stages you say no. These results that were done by Mr. Singh were because he, as an acting person, was supposed to do this. There are conflicting things in the charges. Because we must be clear, he was dealing with everybody in South Africa. If you can let that, I'm still looking at those issues, but if you would answer, tell me. Thank you very much.
Maybe members, we needed some guidance from the department. On the issues related to the suspensions of DDGs and also DG, we warranted some guidance from the department. Granted, we did request the charge sheets for all the DDGs and the DG. Number two, we needed some guidance as to how we then deal with the issues, whether any of those are on sub judice, for us to be able not to prejudice any processes, any due processes, which at the end shall have negative effect on the due processes that are unfolding. So that guidance would then have assisted us in moving forward. I repeat, yes, the charge sheets should have been with us, but going forward, guidance accordingly would have been necessary as we move forward. It is a department that has knowledge as to whether or not the processes and the stage in which they are at do warrant us to have this open discussion or for us to engage in a session that is closed, as it were. But this does not take away the fact that the information about the whereabouts of the DG, that is an open information required by the committee, because the process is there. They have been very
inconsistent, I must say, insofar as reporting is concerned by the department, from the minister to the DG. There has been inconsistent reporting on the situation of the deputy, of the director general. You'd get all sorts of stories. Hence the points raised by Mr. Makondo. But that one is a clear, open session which we have been talking about. I wonder whether the DG will be able to assist us in this regard.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe before I do, can I, with your permission, Chair, to invite the DG for Corporate Services, Mr. Mashangu, to talk to some of the issues in relation to the DDG regulation, and also giving an indication in terms of the guidance in terms of the case, whether we can talk about the cases or not. But I do know about Mr. Singh that the matter is with the Labour Court, so whether we can discuss the merits of his case or not, I'll invite him, since he's an expert in that field, to give us the guidance on that.
Chair, thank you very much. Honourable Chair, the issue of the charge for
annuity... Just one second. You see, in our last meeting, we were presented with Mr. Khif as being the expert. I'm not sure whether Mr. Griff works under you or not.
He works under me.
Okay. Just wanted clarity on that one.
Okay. He reports to me. He's the chief director, HR. He reports to me. Chair, the issue about the charge for the DDG and everything arose in a matter that happened in an office between me and him, which I'm not at liberty to now talk about, but it was mainly what happened here, and then when I called him in to have a discussion with him on the matter, he then did something that I can't talk about now because it's in a hearing, and so that's how he really got charged. It wasn't only the fact that he had done what was said in here. So the hearing is on, so he has a right to defend himself. He will defend himself. He has a lawyer. He has a representation. And we will give him feedback when the matter is finished. Because he's at a hearing right now at the moment. So if the charges are bad, the presiding officer will throw them out. If the charges are worthwhile and the presiding officer thinks that there's a case to be answered, the presiding officer will decide on that. And I therefore do suggest that we leave the matter to the presiding officer, because the matter is being heard as I'm speaking to you. Last week he was at the hearing and some of the people that worked for me were giving evidence at the hearing. He has requested that he must come back because the suspension has been for more than 60 days. We agreed that he must come back, and we are looking for a suitable position in which he can be without him interfering with the regulation people. The issue of Mr. Mashitiso was affected by a court case taken by the DG for Home Affairs. The DG for Home Affairs took the matter to court of his suspension. And in his allegations at the of the matter of suspension was an issue that showed something that executing authorities should have been aware of and may not have been aware of. As a former public service commissioner, I can explain what the issue is to the committee now. What happened was that the Public Service Act, when it was rewritten, the president was given the powers to deal with the conditions of service of heads of department, and the premiers were given the powers to deal with the conditions of service of the provinces. So, until and unless the president delegates that power to a minister, the power vests with the president. So the DG for Home Affairs took his minister to court and won his case that the president had not delegated the power to his minister to suspend him. We therefore advised our minister to say, in this particular instance, therefore, it would be in the interest of everybody for us to settle on the issues we can settle with, and those issues that are extra to the suspension, let's have a settlement agreement on it, and a settlement agreement was reached and signed. Because it would not have made any sense for us to go to court when there's a court decision on the matter that President Zuma had not delegated the powers to suspend DGs to ministers. When I was a commissioner, we had actually insisted that President Thabo Mbeki must delegate, and he had delegated the powers to deal with the issues of the conditions of service of DGs. So it had not happened, and unfortunately I had already left the Public Service Commission. So we then gave that advice. The minister, being the reasonable person that she is, took the advice and had a settlement with the DG on other issues. And that's how the DG was transferred to the other department. The issue of all other people that fall under the DG, DDGs, is a matter that the Director General deals with in terms of the handbook for senior managers. The handbook for senior managers clearly spells out that the conditions of service of the DDGs and others are dealt with by the DG. In this particular instance, the DG approached us on whether he should deal with the issue of Anil differently or not, and we said the matter is already at a hearing, witnesses have been called, Anil is a lawyer, I've had a discussion with Anil's lawyer two or three times. The major issue that really the lawyer was interested in was for him to return to work, which we have no problem with. We gave him a letter to say he can come back to work. We have no problem. The only problem is that the DG felt that we should not have him at the job the way he was, because some of the witnesses in his case come from that particular area. So that was the only hold up on the matter. I hope that satisfies you, Chair.
Thanks for that lecture as well, Commissioner. Thank you, Commissioner. There are three issues. Maybe just before I start with those two other issues, let me also take this opportunity to inform the meeting that indeed I did receive a correspondence from Mr. Singh requesting to come before the committee and also participate in a discussion. Apparently he has followed, that's what he writes in his correspondence, he has been following the deliberations in our previous meeting, contesting a few of those, hence he had requested to be before the meeting. Having made some consultation with some of the legal people here, precisely because the matters are before the courts, it might just be difficult for us to engage in another process. Let us then allow a situation where that process does take its own course until it is concluded upon. However, we are not denied an opportunity to receive the charge sheets. It is in our right to get a sense as to what is it that the incumbent has been charged for, without necessarily having to participate in that process. So the charge sheets of all those that were charged are supposed to be with us, so that we get a sense as to what is it that is going on. We don't just see people being charged coming back without knowing what is going on. That's the essence and the context in which the charge sheets were looked for. So my advice from where I'm seated, members, is that a matter related to Mr. Singh, to an extent that we are to find ourselves engaging in a discussion as to whether or not he is back, he is not back, he is in this or that office, he is to be here or there. Those matters are matters for me, where I'm seated, that belong to that entire process wherein the matters are at court until the court advises as to how the processes are to be dealt with going forward. That would be my view. That talks directly or specifically to a situation of Mr. Singh, so that we don't find ourselves engaged in a discussion that is not going to take us anywhere. As the matters are before court, as we speak, the courts which we respect. That would talk specifically about Mr. Singh. Are we fine with that? Are we okay with Mr. Singh's situation specifically? Thank you very much, Dr. The other issue, DG, talks specifically about the charges for all the other DGs and the DG. I'm aware that in your letter, it was only mentioned of one specific DDG. I did ask Madia, having read the letter as it had gone out, that we were meant as in accordance with our decision of last meeting to receive all the charges. As to how we take those processes forward, that's something else. Madia is confessing that she did not correct that. So we are in that situation, which is quite unfortunate. Do you have those DG? You don't?
No, we can make it available, because initially I thought that we have to provide all the charges. But when the file was finally compiled and those were taken out, but we can make those available immediately after the meeting.
Mr. Nguni, Mr. Basan? I'm sorry, Mr. Mr. Makondo. So just before you come in, Mr. Makondo, I was following my own sequence here. I mentioned that there was that request from Mr. Singh. I mentioned that we needed all the charges for all of those that were suspended. And my last comment, I hope that this serves as a lesson going forward, that the minister, having to be expected to suspend any accounting officer, DDG Mashangu, before she does any of such, I think she must have just learned from this experience. It's quite a destabilizing act You want a department to function and function well, and function effectively, and function efficiently. You don't want a situation where there is, bad blood between the minister and the DG or an accounting officer. Those matters belong to that DG and the president. So the minister suspending, let us just take it as a lesson that must never be repeated again. Mr. Makonde, sorry about that.
Thanks, Chair. Mr. Matlangu, the Commissioner, dealt with this issue in one part. He spoke about the settlement in relation to the suspension. That does not deal with the transgression, because Mr. Machidiso is still a government official. The settlement does not deal with the transgression. We want to understand in relation to the transgression itself, even if the settlement is in relation to that, because he has been charged and he was suspended. When you talk about the settlement, are you talking about the settlement in both?
Honourable Chair, yes.
Mr. Basa.
Thank you, Chair. Partially my question has been covered. I just want to add on that it's very crucial for us to get the settlement as well, because we need to know whether there's any financial implications for the department on that. And secondly, as my colleague has said, we need to see the charge sheet, because we don't know whether there was a possible fraud involved, and this person is not charged via the courts for possible fraud, if there was fraud. But if there was fraud involved, then he's transferred to another department, and you know, that for myself is a huge problem. So for us to get a bigger picture on the kind of settlement that's been reached, we need to know what was the charges against him. And that's also got a financial implication, because that person did not work. He was paid a salary, and eventually you have to take a decision that he was unlawfully suspended by the minister. So, Chair, the department can't walk away not indicating what was the problem and how it's been resolved with the settlement.
Okay, thank you. TG?
Honorable Chair, the when we say that the charges, that the President had not delegated the power, it means that all other charges emanating from there, we would have been found wanting if we had to go to court. So they all get withdrawn. It's a settlement we have to settle, because basically the President should have been the one who authorized those charges, and that unfortunately had not happened. So you get beaten, even if it's on a technicality, honorable members, we would lose in court if we proceeded with any of the charges. But let me answer the question that is asking. There was no money settlement. We did not pay anybody anything.
Let's conduct a meeting in a manner that directs questions to the committee, not to the individual.
Okay, sir.
Thank you.
There was no money paid to anybody in the settlement. It was just a question of the withdrawal of the charges because of the technicality that that the powers vested somewhere else and did not vest with our minister. So all the charges were withdrawn.
Ms. Bissa?
Chairperson, if the charges was of a nature that it was crucial for the minister to suspend the DG, and there's a technical problem, then you withdraw the charges and you reinstate the charges, and then you ask the president to rectify that or lay the charges. But it seems now for me that they are hiding something, because it was not that serious. We rather just withdraw the charges and we want to get rid of him. We'll make a plan and get him into Kokta. So we are just transferring the problem to another government institution, and then it's fine with us. So, Chairperson, we want to see those charge sheets and we want to see the settlement.
Mr. Makondo, Mr. Mgunu noted.
Yeah, Chair. You see, I agree with Comrade Baston. Comrade? Mm-hmm. Yes.
What a comrade.
I agree with him, Chair. You know, we become fools when we are in the middle of discussion without any basis, because the charges are not here. We can't even determine the financial implications that transgression might have had to the department. You see, there are those who are saying that it was charged. Because the charges are not here, we can all speculate. Because he was being intimidated. There are those who are saying so, and you can believe them. You see, Mr. Mashangu, it's long you've been working for government, and I expect better from you. You know very well that the process can be flawed, but that does not mean that the issues go away. They don't. Unless you want us to believe those who are saying that Mr. Machidiso was intimidated, those charges were just to intimidate him. There were no issues. If there were issues, government has to continue with them, because that might have had financial implications to the department. Thanks, Chair.
The unfortunate part is that this meeting, it is still to continue. There are two outstanding matters. The DG has indicated that those are readily available. The charges and the settlement terms. I think only then that we can intelligently engage in this discussion. Hence I'm saying the unfortunate part is that this meeting, it is still to continue. In other words, we still have to continue in the next meeting as an outstanding item, if that is fine, members. I don't think it will help us belaboring on the issues further than this, until we get those black and white issues distributed to members here, for members to begin to read and get themselves intelligent in order to engage in the future discussion. Okay. That's fine, if that is okay. In other words, the terms of settlement and the charges, whether or not we are okay with such a transfer and the terms of such and the charges thereof, those are issues that we'll have to deal with going forward. As soon as we get that information, we prepare ourselves. If you can get that information much earlier so that we are able to prepare ourselves better for next week, we're fine with that. Okay. At this juncture, one of the other issues that, again, which is not in the correspondence written to you, DG, one of the other issues that we dealt with in the last meeting was the matter related to Overbeck.
I asked you a question.
Sorry, Mr. Mguni. Your hand was up. I'm aware about that. Sorry.
That one, I think you have closed it very, very well. Because I wanted to indicate that can't we wait for the charges to come in here, we read them through, and then we will make an argument based on the thing. Because to me, withdrawal is not permanent, according to what they have said there. But I don't want to dwell on that. I think we have closed it very well. I think I had a question that in this issue of qualifications, when do we say a person is qualified to go to qualifications? So we must understand all of us are on the same page on these issues. Thank you very much.
It's a straightforward one, TJ.
Thank you, Chair. I think you are qualified once you have a certificate in your hand that you have completed a course. If you are still, the course is ongoing, you have not completed, you are not yet qualified. Hence it's written there, you have been admitted. So you have fulfilled all the requirements of the course. So it's when you have a certificate, we have a proof, we can make a copy of the certificate, then you are qualified. That's how I understand it.
Chairperson. Will I be wrong if I say maybe when you write something on qualification, one should not put in complete, because I can just register. I have registered with the best university on governance and leadership in advanced diploma. I'm left with two courses to finish. But I won't put that as my qualification. I will say these are, what do you call it, is the right way. I'm still furthering my studies on those things. Then that should not be on the qualification.
Mrs. Manana?
Thanks, Chair.
Mamu Manana.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, in addition of what Honorable Mguni have said now, I think in future, because when we call the department to come and account here, some of the things we need to advise them. Because in future, when they write something like this, they must just put it correct and say, this one has got matric certificate. They must not write everything, because I understand that there are some other officials who are still studying, but they did not even put those qualifications by saying incomplete, because they are still studying but not yet completed. They must just put matric. If you have got it's not a taboo to write a matric, because matric is also a certificate according to the DG, when he says as long as you have certificate. Matric is also certificate. They must not put incomplete Masters of Business, because this is incomplete. It's not completed yet. Thank you.
Mr. Makondo noted, Mr. Basson.
Thank you, Chair. Through you, Chair, I get a sense that DG got the information from the CVs. When you got this information, because I understand you might have requested that they compile the information here. And Mr. Mguni asked you a question and you responded to it quietly. When this was presented to you, what did you say to them? Because I'm sure you are not seeing this for the first time.
Sorry, Mr. Pusson.
Chairperson, I would request that they bring us back this next week. One crucial thing that we need to see is, what is the minimum qualification you need to have for that specific position? I can recall that when the advertisement went out for the DG, it stipulated there very specifically, vast experience in the water sector. That was specifically, and that is the correct words, vast experience in the water sector. Now, I asked the minister a question on that. Can she please indicate to me that what was the experience in the water sector that the DG that was appointed, where did he get that experience? And the answer was, he was in local government, in management. Now, that was not the required specialist that we had or need to get. So please, can we get this and just see whether people are meeting the requirements? Because that could also be a problem in the department. Why we are struggling is we appoint people with no experience in the water sector. I agree, when you're a CFO, then it doesn't matter. Because if you've got management and financial experience, whether you work in local government, that's fine, because you've got that experience. But when you appoint someone, a technical person, you must have technical experience. You can't appoint a financial person in a position where it's required to be a position with technical experience. So can we ask that they also give us the minimum requirements on those positions so that we can see whether our DGs and DDGs meet the minimum requirements?
Okay, I take it that this is also work in progress for our next meeting, so that we have one full set of discussion. Ms. Manana?
In support of your view, Chairperson, as you have already mentioned that even on the issue of Mr. Singh, we're going to discuss this in the next meeting, because really, in my view, I was just with my understanding on all these issues that has been raised. The prescript of the Constitution, the Public Service Administration Act and Labor Act with its amendment appear not to be underpinning the work of the department in terms of human resource issues. Mr. Singh issue, but one issue, how sound are compliance to legislation and regulation in the HR section? Perhaps a separate session on challenges in HR section. Let's discuss this in the next meeting together with what you are raising. So in short, I'm supporting all your views that let's discuss this. It needs some discussion, because Mr. Singh now is going to challenge this the department that in the previous meeting we have been misled by someone in this meeting. So let's continue in that meeting. I must say thank you.
Okay, I take it we are agreed that we shall have to continue with this discussion in our next meeting. You are edgy, Mr. Mashango?
Yes, Chairperson. I must apologize to the committee. The list that was given to the committee, I withdrew. I do not understand how it went to the committee. And I withdrew it because when he's talking about the incomplete, he's referring to me. And then I withdrew it and said,
Thank you, Mr. Matangu.
I'm surprised that somebody chose
No. You can switch off the mic. Let me also repeat what I normally say. We are not friends here. we hold no personal grudge to anyone. We are only doing our work. Part of our work is to do an oversight. We had started this discussion in the context of an organogram. And part of that also tells us that we need to understand as to whom are we dealing with here. At the end, it is to create a competent, effective, and efficient management team that has got qualifications, that are going to deliver on what is expected of them. So that going forward, we have a better sense as to who is here expected at the end to deliver that better life for all our people. That's what is bringing us together here. Nothing personal. We are not friends. We have work to do. We are combined by that one object of having to bring a better life to our people out there. That's what brings us together here. That's what should make us friends. That's what should make us work together in a manner that achieves that target and objective as we speak. So I just thought, let me just make those few words. I think we are done at two levels, the charges and also the terms of settlement for the DG, and lastly this very issue that we've just dealt with now, that it continues to be an item for our next meeting. Now, that should be fine, and thanks for that information, DG, and that assists us achieve what we want to achieve. We have with us here Advocate Jenkins, who shall give us thanks for that.
That's yours.
Oh, okay.
Looks like mine. We have Advocate Jenkins. Jennings or Jenkins? Jenkins. If you remember very well, members, we had requested that, in fact, we had actually resolved in our last meeting that we shall have to seek for a legal opinion on the standing. They've got a Latin word that they use, those that are in that field of law, the standing on Overbeck, given its situation that it has gotten through. That legal opinion shall assist us going forward in our response. Mr. Basson, before you, Mr. Jenkins.
Chairperson, can I request that he sits there so that the members could see him?
Thank you very much. Chair, I must first say I can take you through the opinion. It's rather brief. I thought it was quite succinct. It was drafted in a short space of time. It was an urgent request, as you are aware. So what I did is I as much as I could, try to follow up the legal position that I understand the PFMA sets out, the Public Finance Management Act, compared to what the practice is. I think all the members received the legal opinion. And in short, what it says is that when we're dealing with a government enterprise, when we're dealing with a business enterprise in Schedule 3, where Oeverberg Municipality, Oeverberg Water Board is, it appears from the provisions of Section 55 that their corporate plan and their draft budget gets submitted to their accounting officer, or through with their accounting authority to the accounting officer of the department, and then to their provincial or national treasury, in this case a national treasury, it's a national entity. And in the case of their draft budget and their corporate plan, it's not required that Parliament or a committee approves that. But certainly it's necessary to look at those plans to have oversight over the entity. And when we look at the Money Bills Amendment Procedure Act, when you're doing your budget review and recommendation reports, you'll also know that that is used to do those comparisons to see what was the plan, what was the corporate plan, was it executed, did you reach your targets, what does your annual report say, what does the Auditor General say, what's the Scopa say, anything. And similarly, when we're dealing with approving of the budget. So that part of the opinion as well, Chair, when it comes to the budget, it's approved through the appropriation bill, or let me leave that to last because it's last in the opinion. When it comes to the annual report of the Oeverberg Water Board, from what I see in Section 55, that is also submitted to Parliament, but through the department. So, as I said in the beginning, in the short space of time, I tried to get a hold of someone in Oeverberg Water Board to just explain to me what the practice is, because I did find that in 2009 they did submit separate annual plan, annual report to Parliament, and it was a separate sort of consideration in the committee to look at that, and that was some time ago. Now, I can be frank with you, I found two or three people in Oeverberg Water Board and they were almost hesitant to answer my questions. And the question was simple, do you submit your annual report to the department to be included in the department's annual report, or do you submit a separate one to Parliament? And if it's the latter, have you not submitted in the last few years? And no one wanted to answer that question. So they gave me some email addresses to follow up through, and none of those email addresses work. So I just focused in the time I had here on the PFMA. And it looks like the PFMA puts the obligation on the accounting officer of the national department, which is the Water and Sanitation Department, to ensure that that annual report is included in the annual report of the department. When it comes to the approving of the budget, the last part of the opinion, what I've seen based on the annual report, which sets out then the programs, that in many of the programs you have the water boards. And so when you budget for those programs, you're budgeting for the water boards as well. So they're getting the budget through it. So that was dealing with your question, have we not approved? Well, how can they function if we haven't approved their budget? But the budget has been approved from just the desktop research I've done through approving the appropriation book, which includes the department's budget in there. Now, I don't know what exactly the practice is that's exactly how it works in practice. But then the central question in the last area was, is it legal for them to continue trading as such or providing services, although we haven't received a separate annual report, we haven't seen a corporate plan, and as I say, the budget, how has that been approved? There's nothing in the PFMA that prevents an entity from functioning. Of course, they need a budget to function. So if Parliament has approved their budget, the way I understand it, they can function. If they have not submitted the necessary reports, that's a separate thing. There are issues there. Certainly National Treasury plays a role in terms of Section 6 of the PFMA. National Treasury must oversee the implementation of the Act, and they can also stop the allocation of funds to an entity if there's problems with how its corporate governance is going forward. So there's a role for National Treasury there to play as well. But they can continue functioning, and from a different perspective, looking through the Money Bills Amendment procedure. Should Parliament decide that we need to withhold funds or specifically approve certain funds to Overberg Water Board because of their lack of accountability? I'm assuming there was lack of accountability. I'm not saying that. Then, of course, Parliament will have to ensure that we do not hamper or stymie the delivery of socio-economic services, which water is certainly a right that we have in the Constitution. So the issue that whether you can trade as a water board and deliver water services to people while you're not submitting reports, for me that's a much clearer question. And you have to do that, notwithstanding that you haven't submitted reports, assuming that those reports haven't submitted yet. I'm going to leave it there. In the opinion, I say that we should, these questions really, the DG of the department or the minister should maybe can help give some light. And of course, the Water Board Accounting Authority itself can also shed some light on this. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. That is a succinct opinion, legal opinion. Straightforward. Took us 8 minutes. Any comments? Mr. Mguni, Mr. Pason, Mam Kaula?
Hey, thank you very, very much, President. You know, I'm worried that the legal advisor is saying that the email addresses were given, but none of them were working. And then, did you have another form of communication? And what will there be any repercussion for the, because if people have given you some form of communication and it's not working, and you did some other follow-ups in another way and nothing happening, there should be something that is, that drastic measures that are taken against it, because we need that information to make your own report and legal representation to us. The other, if you can advise, how is this Overberg budget approved? I know you said they have to continue. How is it approved if there's no plan? Because all voter board, they are approved somewhere. But how is it approved if there's no plan to and then what are the measures or negative impacts on that one? The other one is the role of the accounting authority. The role of in the legal sphere, is the authority, the accounting authority, doing a fair share to enable that this overpaid comply with the statutes? I hear you very well when you're speaking about the treasury, if they find that this entity is not doing well, they can even cut whatever, what they understand. But what measures have they done for the lack of accountability? Because they have to play the part there. Lastly, let's put the balance of social service. What is a social service? That must be given to people. You understand? And non-reporting. How do we balance the two? Because people cannot hide behind the social giving of social responsibility and say, because we have to give this and you cannot stop money. But you are not reporting because we are giving you money. And according to PFMA, there are articles, there are resolutions, there are things that you have to comply with on that one. Can you give us legal assistance? Thank you very much.
Mr. Bassa?
Chairperson, the problem we have with Overberg, Overberg, it starts with the minister. Why is the minister not acting? All the water boards have got to individually, they bring their financials to this committee. I'm not sure whether they receive funds because the functions of different water boards are different. You get Mkhalis and Rand Water, they've got water purification plants where they sell water, other water boards don't. You don't have that in your or do you have it? I'm asking a question to Wofford. Secondly, they receive money or it goes directly to the water trading entity. I'm not sure. So that needs to be clarified. But Chairperson, I think the biggest problem is the minister just left this and the department has left Wofford because we want one water board in the whole country. So why would we rectify this problem? It must be rectified till there is another way of thinking of water boards. The minister must act and the department must act. They must act immediately. There must be intervention in that department. It's no use the minister just appoints Mr. Buthelezi in that position and just leave him. And there's no support. There must be actions from this department to deal with this matter, and there must be a plan on the table. And next week, Chairperson, the department must come up with a plan how they're going to assist that water board and get the affairs in place. Whether you should call other people from your department to go and sort out the problem there, then it must be done. But that plan must be on the table next week. They must tell us how they're going to deal with Wofford.
Indaba se-overpack, but inenkinga. If uma sizobuyisa kahle umqondo, nami ngizobuye ngivumelane nozakwethu la ukuthi ngempela uminister nakusekhona la safuna kasichacheze khona ngoba uyena kanye nawe engibona ukuthi akakwazi ukulandela izinto ngendlela afanele alandele ngazo. Okokuqala lapha mhlawumbe kuba siyakhumbula. It last year or last of last year kunama official aphume ekhala ethi imali akakhokhelwa yona and noma bekhuluma banakwa ngangokuthi ngisho beze emhlanganeni babeyizela bona la ngemali zabo. Ngikhumbula sihlalo nawe babezama ukuthi bafune ukukhuluma kodwa bagcina bengakhulumelanga sesihamba ngaleso sikhathi. Iy'nkinga ezilapho funa siyibheke khona futhi okunye because niyabona sivele sinenkinga ye-crisis yamanzi. Khona into lafuna siyithathe khona easy, khona lafuna singayithathi khona easy. Uyabona le nto yalapha i-overpack funeka ke sithole ukuthi ayikho indlela ukuthi kungcono ke sihlakazwe leya bhodi likhona, kube khona ibhodi lesikhashana labo bantu abazi ukuthi sizoyithola le nto noma kuzokwazi ukuthi lezi zinto ezizingqalazinto ezikamanzi zizokwazi ukuyithola nalama-report adinga ngoba ngempela futhi ngiyahambisana. Awukwazi ukunikeza umuntu imali ukuthi minayo imali after that kodwa ibone ukubuya back kuzosho ukuthi isebenze kanje nansi engasebenzanga. Ngiyabonga.
I'll refer to the record previously given by the honourable member. Thanks, Chairperson. In Overpack there is a lot of crisis. Even the minister must give us some clarity about Overpack issue. The last time I checked, there was also an issue concerning the succession of officials. They had a lot of complaints. They even hinted that they were never provided with money to come to Parliament. They had to pay for the transport themselves. The other one was crying tears. So we have to be informed about the issue of overpay as to what is really happening there. And lastly, can't we just split this board in overpay? Because we receive no reports, no annual reports and financial statements. There's nothing that we get from them. Thank you.
My only interest, advocate, is that previously the department would have been bringing the water boards reports to Parliament to a point where your DDG would literally speak on their behalf. What about A, what about B, what about C, and so on. This is how they've been performing. We're tabling here is the APP, here the annual report. That's the practice when we got here, we encountered. your money bills, as far as I'm concerned, change that. Those that are appropriated by Parliament, public funds, have to be before a committee of Parliament. Yes, the DDG for regulator would still be here, as they are falling under his or her ambit, if you like. For that reason that we've had water boards coming before Parliament. I think since 2015 we've had such a practice, unlike before, to a point where it was becoming even clearer by the day that there were indeed inherent challenges within the water boards. At some point, in fact, as we speak now, maybe because of this exercise that we had to take a very keen and direct interest, we can report today that out of your 9 water boards, 6 are working in limping, if you like. I'm being mild in using that language, short of saying dysfunctional. If we did not take this route, it would have been difficult for us to get a sense of what is going on within the water boards. Maybe just in passing, talking to the General Secretary of NEHAO earlier on today, you get to receive a report that says you are going to have a strike by the labor union in a number of your water boards, on a very crucial area that talks to water being a constitutional right. I'm aware I'm conflating two issues here, but it talks directly to the issue that says if we did not have that direct interest, having to bring water boards here, we would not have been able to get all these, you know, inner workings reported in the form of your overbook water. So that money bills does enjoin us as Parliament to take a very direct interest in the workings of a water board, that they come before Parliament themselves, presenting themselves to Parliament, not via a DDG responsible for regulation. So that's where we are, which I thought we should also give you some background to what we are dealing with. We have had this respective water board that we're talking about here literally being dysfunctional since, if I'm not mistaken, 2015, if not 2016. Your CEO and your water and the board of the water board having not been talking to each other literally. Hence, you did not have any budget here, since you do not have any annual report here. So you're dealing with such a situation such that at the end of the day, we had to make our own, if you like, paralegal comment that says the water board has been operating illegally. That is now from a paralegal. You know, there are a number of us here who are working in the legal, what do you call them? Advice offices, yeah, that's the word I was looking for. Now we had to make that statement given the fact that we did not entertain any of its reports, whether by way of a budget or by way of an annual report itself. Granted, the acting, rather, the
the accounting officer takes full responsibility of their existence. Granted, the accounting officer has to make it a point that they are accordingly appropriated to the necessary funding. As to do what, that's something else. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. If I deal with this, some of the questions, especially from Mr. Nguni. The issue of the communications, I have to be honest with you, I've got no clue what the reason is why the emails didn't work. I phoned them first to get the email addresses. So that's, and when one says that my email is not going through, there's always 10,000 reasons. There's a server on this side, there's a server on that side, there's maybe the points or the dots is wrongly placed or whatever. So I won't be able to answer that, but certainly I phoned them and I asked them just that simple question and I couldn't get an answer from them. So I will leave it at that, but the structure that the PFMA envisages, which I look at, is that the accounting authority of the water board, with about water board, must have a draft budget and a corporate plan and submit that to the accounting officer of the department, who will then also submit it to the National Treasury, and they will look at it and they will agree to it, and that will become part of the budget of the department. And then there's transfers being made for certain issues in the water board. Maybe their personnel expenditure is not a transfer payment, but that goes straight from the budget of the department and so on. So that's how it's envisaged. The role of the accounting authority of the water board is to make sure that that is done, the corporate plan is done, there is a plan, and it's costed. The accounting officer of the department must then look at that and include it in the department's issues, in the department's budget, and he's responsible then, he or she is responsible then to also give that to the executive authority, who must table it in parliament. So that's sort of the line of accountability that's in the PFMA, the way I understand it. The Treasury's responsibility there is certainly if there's lapses in governance or lapses on especially financial management, National Treasury must intervene according to Section 6 of the PFMA, and then either suspend the money or the operations or the people who are working there. So you are 100% correct. In other words, I would agree with you 100%. You can't hide behind the fact that you're delivering a service which is mandated by the Constitution. The service can be delivered the way you deliver that service and the financial management behind that, specifically when we're dealing with reporting and accountability. And there are control mechanisms put in place, and reporting is one of them, so that you have oversight. Check how democracy operates. So I agree with you there. You don't have to suspend the services, but certainly if someone is not doing their job, you can suspend the person and get an intervention according to the law, and to continue the services, but to actually fix the problem, which is a management problem. And I just want to, on that point, attach to the issue of, which is not, I'm not 100% aware of that issue, Chairperson, but if I heard correctly, that yes, there's lapses in the governance or in the financial management of Oeverberg, but perhaps we're going to move towards a new system of water boards. It might be more centralized. We're going to do away with the 9 water boards in the country. We're going to change the Water Services Act, etc., etc. That must first be done before you can actually implement that. And that is because the Constitution requires that. The Constitution says that we must obey the law. The Constitution says the principle of the rule of law. No one's above the Constitution. Everybody is subject to the law. So if the Act says this is how it must operate, then that is how it must operate until we change the Act to a new system. So I agree with Mr. Basson on that one as well. Madam, I'm very sorry, but my IC course is not very good. Did you do the translation of the... I'm hopeless when it comes to some of these. But, yes, okay, so that was the... No, it's fine. I mean, I think correctly put... Sorry, ma'am, you wanted to say something, right?
Well, I remember what I was saying was that there is a lot of crisis there. the major complaints by the officials when they were not allocated with money to come to Parliament. They had to pay for themselves coming to Parliament. They wanted to know as to what is really happening, because others were crying tears, explaining to the members about the predicament they are facing in Overbosch. And she was also suggesting that, can't you split this Overbeck board and put a special team to take over? That is about all.
Of course. Yeah, that's fine, I got it. Thank you very much, man. Now, first of all, 100% again, the fact that Parliament calls entities or officials from government departments is a constitutional function Parliament is doing. And it must be costed. I mean, it must be included in the budget of a department, as well as the entities that reports to the department. The reason for that is because we know in the annual cycle of Parliament, in the budget cycle of Parliament, we are going to call these people in and to explain to Parliament what's happening. It's not unexpected. So, I mean, I would agree with those officials who say that they can't be paying out of their own pockets to come to Parliament to answer questions. There's certainly, if that is the case, there's a problem with the financial management in the area. Because that should be included in your plans, that you're going to come to Parliament, present your report, and go back to your entity. So that's 100% correct. In terms of an intervention, that would be National Treasury to take control there. So if the committee is interested in that, Chairperson, we should call whoever is responsible in National Treasury to say, are you aware of the problems at the water boards? What are you doing? Do you have a plan of action there? And because in terms of Section 6.2 of the Constitution, Treasury must intervene when the PFMA is not implemented, the Public Finance Management Act. And there's, maybe just on that point, there's various levels of intervention. You know, they don't have to take over. They can assist. They can second people there to help solve the problem. But if there's a deep-rooted problem, for instance, corruption, then you have to remove those people and get a new person placed there. So there's various levels which one can look at. I mean, it's quite a lot in Section 6, but it's all there. Thank you, man.
Did you want to make an additional point?
Thank you, Chair. I fully agree. Next week we'll submit a plan in terms of the work that we are doing in Overbeck. But as a department chair, we have intervened in Overbeck. There were, if you recall, the problem that what Overbeck Water Board started in 15-16 financial year, where they could not submit their report. Where we are, Chair, in terms of the processes, in terms of the report that we're going to submit next week, the 15-16 annual report was submitted and tabled in Parliament. What we are busy with is the 16-17 annual report, which will be completed by April, and the 17-18 report will be done on time. And you recall that the board was disbanded. We are busy with the process of appointing a board. That process is underway. The advert closed in February. It's closing in February. And the minister will appoint the selection panel. And in terms of the intervention that we've done, we have also seconded the finance people to the water board, because we have found that the financial systems have collapsed with the absence of a CFO. So we have seconded the finance people to assist the CE there. And the work is underway, and we hope that within 6 months, the water board will be fully functional with the board, which is the accounting authority, and all the reports submitted to Parliament on time. And lastly, Chair, I think we'll assist the advocate in terms of the communication. I don't know what happened there and whom gave the wrong information. We have a dedicated unit in the department that deals with oversight. I shall give my details as well as the DDG responsible for communication in terms of all the water boards, especially this one Overbeck. But next week, Chair, we shall provide a report in terms of, with clear time frames, in terms of the work that we are doing and when it will be completed. Thank you.
That was a straightforward a submission by Advocate Jenkins, and the issues hopefully they shall have been satisfactorily attended to. The DG has since assured the advocate of any information that is shall rather be required. Okay, let's thank Advocate Jenkins for that submission, and trusting that it assists us going forward. Once again, we're doing our work. We favor no one. That's all what we have come here for, to do our work. Thanks for that. Let's go back to the issues that we are dealing with. Another issue, maybe just before we dwell on to other matters, I'm not sure whether, TG, you do have any information that might wish to read for us here. We had also requested the Chief Executive Officer of Bloom Water to come before us here. Unfortunately, the late notice couldn't get her through here. She attempted this morning for flights which were delayed for some technical reason. As a result, communicating with her, she indicated to me that the department might wish to present something on her behalf. If that is readily available, TG, you might wish to do that. Ideally, it would have been a situation where she is personally here before us. The background to it, members, has to do more with the arrests that have taken place in Free State in the past week. She was one of those that were arrested as the Chief Executive Officer of Bloom Water, which we thought that we should have her here. Matters of that nature are matters that require swift attention, so that if there is to be any confusion, it is dealt with almost immediately. If there is to be any merit on the matter, we are advised accordingly, so that we can deal with the issues head on. Thanks, DG.
Thank you very much, Chair. The CEO of Bloom Water wanted to be here, Chair, but as you've indicated, couldn't be here. But regarding the matter of arrest last week, or the week before last, it relates to the matter of her previous employment when she was employed at Machabeng Municipality, not related to the issues of Bloom Water. But I don't have all the merits of her case, and she wanted to come in as we have invited her to explain it. We also intervened immediately trying to find out the nature of her arrest, whether it's in relation to the work that she's currently doing for the water board. So if you still need her chair, maybe in our meeting next week, she'll be available to come and explain, since I don't have all the merits of the case. But safe to say that it relates to the matters of her previous employment, not with the Bloom Water Board.
Okay. I think guiding us, what the DG is saying is that she should still come before us next week, if that is fine with us members. That's fine. Okay. Thanks for that, DG. I'm just trying to establish the rest of the other issues that we're dealing with. Do you have an idea, DG? Hey. Oh yes, the Limpopo issue. We did table the report, and the report was accordingly adopted last year. On the 22nd of November. This is out of an oversight that we took as members in Limpopo. The report is also included in your pack. The department is responding to a number of those issues that were highlighted in the report itself. If I were to summarize some of those on page 19 of the report, the department having to facilitate that the affected communities submit all outstanding issues in writing to the portfolio committee. Process of evaluation report by end of September 2017, and that feedback needs to be provided to the committee. Department provide a progress report on housing repairs on a monthly basis. Immediate attention needs to be focused on water access to the community surrounding Nandone Dam. The department will provide an update in writing in respect of the investigation into the disruption of water supply at ZZ2 farm to the farmers downstream. The Mupani District Municipality, through the Department of Corporate Governance, needs to facilitate reticulation from the Kiani main supply line in order to ensure water supply to the affected communities. The last recommendation there was that the department provides feedback on this report within 60 days. That was in November 27th in 2017. The report is before us, and the submissions by the department are entailed or are contained in this big pack. You want to talk to some of those issues, Titi?
Thank you very much, Chair. We will talk through the issues, but we also make the presentation on issues of Nandone and ZZ2. But the first part, we talk about the department to facilitate the affected communities and submit the outstanding issues in writing to portfolio committee. That was done in September, on the 5th of September. In terms of the process of evaluation reports, that also is receiving attention. It was done. And the issue of the progress report on housing, Chair, our submission is that there are 51 houses that have been repaired in Mulenze alone. There's a total of 47 local laborers from Mulenze village who are doing the repair work. Also to mention that the rainy season delayed the construction work. The construction work is behind schedule, and some of the sub-construction companies do not report for duty after receiving payments. Those are some of the challenges in terms of attending to this problem of housing. There were four sub-construction companies which left site for various reasons. The main contractor on site had recruited other local contractors. And the department is in the process of dispatching its internal unit to double the intervention so that we can complete the work on time. So those are been attended to. The CEO of Lipele will talk to the issue of Nandoni, and the provincial head of Mpumalanga will talk on the issue of ZZ2. Then that will complete our submission, Chair.
Are we fine? Are we done? Thank you. What's the next issue, members? Oh yeah, okay, you here? Where's your jacket?
Done a presentation that we have put as part of the pack that we have circulated. I'm going to go through the presentation.
Do we have copies of the submission? It looks like this. No? Okay, thank you.
Yeah. No, thank you very much. In terms of the content, I am Masaram Rauzi. I'm not the acting DG, I'm the acting provincial head of Mpumalanga. In terms of the contents for the presentation, the contents are as follows. It has got the purpose of the presentation, applicable legislation, background of ZZ2 farming, which is in Mokezi, the scope of infrastructure, and then the recommendation. The purpose of this presentation is that it was triggered by the extended period of drying up of Middle Itaba Dam and Kudas and the branch Bonchis rivers, which resulted in complaints by most water users affected. It was assumed that it may be linked to water users storage both on mainstream tribunals. The applicable legislation, we recorded that the applicable legislation related to water court that was done in 1932, which applies to the Kudus River from its source down to its confluence with the Middle Litaba River. An application was also from Frederick Joseph Chamber, owner of Ramatos Kloof number 307, for opening of the proceedings, Water Court, which is 1409 of 1932. There was also issues of water distribution arrangement as well as schedule for sharing of water by the water users, which are reflected in Annexure B and C, respectively, on the above mentioned Water Court. Just now, I'm just going to give you the background of this ZZ2 farming, which is in Mokezi. Just on record, this ZZ2 farming is in Limpopo in terms of provincial boundaries. But in terms of water management area, it's in Mpumalanga, because Olifant River together with Litaba, their management area, which is falling under Mpumalanga. So in terms of locality, we try to give a brief background that there's a true farming, Mokete is situated in Mokete outside Benin, within the political boundaries of Limpopo province. In terms of the water management area, it's a quaternary drainage region, which is B82A and B, H2B and B, H2C, the faults within the boundaries of Mpumalanga. ZZ2 Farming Mokete is a brand name of the farming company that operates as BT Fanzel Pty Ltd. It owns most of this property under farming, ZZ2 Farming, a Mokete brand name, and then also leases property owned by various other companies in the Mokete Valley. Mokete Valley, which is a low-field region, Limpopo, has six divisions, which is Jack's Patch, Matume's Hook, Freddy's Zal, Vangani, Vakel Drift, and then Olive Berg. Each of these divisions has different farm properties. The next one, which talks to the scope of the infrastructure, we look at the focus area, all three gems on the middle Letaba and its sovereignty, the Bronco Spirit and its sovereignty, the dams which are part of the three main rivers. In terms of the focus area, we are saying all properties which the water users are taking place and the associated rivers are going to be provided. Property ownership and leasing arrangement are also going to provide that type of information. There was also a challenge with regard to existing lawful use and permits associated with. We also provide information about the dam capacity. Sorry. In terms of a scope of infrastructure, we are now providing the following information. That all storage dams on the middle Letaba and its turbidities are as follows. In the stream dam on the middle Letaba River, it was observed and used by ZZ Farming Mokete, the Lona Dam, Lona Down Dam. ZZ2 Farming Mokete has got an entitlement for the taking of water from Lona Dam, Down Dam. It's located on the farm, Kunesfontein 183, and has the full supply capacity of 4,900,000 cubic meter. This dam was built by the Department of Agriculture and Fisheries and Forestry, and the farm is owned by Pela Community Association. There is also an agreement between ZZ2 Farming Mokete Pela Community Association, which allowed the maintenance and control of the dam to be done by ZZ2 Farming Mokete as part of the water use from the dam. Water taken from the Lona Dam during the wet season by ZZ2 Farming Mokete is used on farm Mamra 344, Inspect 346, Ennis Plant 185, and then Paradise Duot 182. When I'm continuing on this matter, Kudus River and its turbines are as follows. The ZZ2 Farming Mokete has got seven in-stream dams. This is just the names of the dams which are part and parcel of that Mokete area. The following dams were observed from the most upstream and towards the downstream, because we were doing an assessment in terms of checking what are the dams which are where this Mokete farm is getting its water from. The dams are as follows. We have noted that there are seven dams which have been provided. The first one being Breitensberg Dam. The second one, which is Pose de Beer Dam, with a capacity of 302,000 cubic meter. The third one is Donkersvaal Dam on the Kudus River. It's on the farm of Donkersvaal 405. Kudus Dutch 32 with a capacity of 1,700,000 cubic meter. The fourth, fifth, and sixth and seventh dams are also reflected on the next slide, and then are as follows. we have got this Frey Dam with a capacity of 6.5 million cubic meter. The next one is Basson Dam with a capacity of 250,000 cubic meter. The sixth one is a Kremer Dam with a capacity of 316,000 cubic meter. The last one is Jarlsbad Dam with a capacity of around 1.8 million cubic meter. In terms of when I'm now proceeding to the first water, to the next one, there are also some dams which we found them to be in the interim on the Grand Pointis River, and these dams are as follows. We have got Fritz de Beer Dam, which is the only dam owned by ZZ2 Farming, Mwekezi, and it's situated on the Brangot Spirit Brands Pointis River on the farm. Trade 7, Clips Drift, and then further Falls Street, Trade 4. This dam have got a capacity of 862,000 cubic meter. The next one, which is the second one from this interim dam, the interim dams is as follows. It's Luandar Dam with a capacity of 650 cubic meter. The fourth one is the Deer Dam, which is also found also on the same inland stream with the which is also feeding the boreholes water. It is the last dam for the ZZ2 farming on this river. The fifth one is the Siden Dam, which is also in the ZZ2 farming Mwekezi. It's also on the farm of Siden 356. This dam does not belong to ZZ2, but it's also part of the Makepisi community property. ZZ2 farming Mwekezi does not have abstraction rights. The next one, we said, which are the dams which are on the tributaries of the three main rivers. There are two dams on the tributaries of the main river, where Henex and Seb, which are Henex and Seb, the dam. Henex Dam is located on the tributaries of Middle Litaba River. This dam receives boreholes water and water pumped from the Lona Don Dam. Sepse Dam is also located on the tributaries of Middle Litaba River, and there is a capacity of 500,000 cubic meters. This dam is fed by abstraction from Middle Litaba River during the wet season when the river flows, and also from the boreholes water. In terms of the National Water Act, Act number 36 of 1998, section 21A, taking water from the water resource. ZZ2 farming will exercise the water use of taking water from the groundwater resource. According to the facilities representative, there are about 1,375 boreholes in the area, which 668 are in use, which means that almost half of the boreholes they are not working. There is also a surface water taking from Middle Litaba River, the Lona Don Dam on the Middle Litaba River, from the dams on the Kudus River, and then also from the dam on the Brongos River, Brent Boinkis River, and from the storage dam on the tributaries of the three main rivers. The next bullet is this, in things as follows. The water use of taking being exercised by ZZ2 for farming magazine has been confirmed as continuity of the water use as existing lawful use, and the confirmation letter has been issued, guided by Section 35(4) of the National Water Act number 86 of 1998. Water use of taking were confirmed as lawful also on the basis that they are of the legislated authorization under Section 9B of the Water Act, Act 54 of 1956, as amended
by Water Amendment Act of 1975, which limits the use of taking water from public stream to be up to an absorption rate of 110 liters per second without the permit from the minister. Minister's right. In terms of storage water, let the two farm area also express the water use of storing water on the Cruz River and the Bronx River through several. I think I've already passed this one. The next one, the storage of water continue. Let that farming area exercise the water use storage of raw water on the Cruz River and the Brand Pointed River through several in-stream dams and then off-channel dams on the tributaries of the main river. Betty Van Zyl started farming in 1965, and then all storage dams, including those on the leased farms, were constructed prior to 1975. The water use of storage has been confirmed by section 35 liters as existing lawful water use. Those dams which exceed the limited capacity of up to 250,000 cubic meters of storage without requiring a permit from the minister were confirmed even without the permit, because they existed the period the Water Amendment Act of 1975, which brought the limitation. The storage of water on tributaries at three priorities of the public streams could have been confirmed as lawful based on that it is private water and the minister has no jurisdiction. This is found in the Water Court judgment dated 14 June 1985, caught in Western Cape. By Berger, this was the case between Leroy and then Mr. Kruger. The court ruled that the water of a private stream, which is a source and a tributary of a public stream, only become public water when it joins the public stream.
I see Bambela for Babum Laos. Members, in a nutshell, we have a report here. Yes, the report does give us the background. There are, you know, precedents. What do you call them? Precedences or precedents? Precedences. Yeah, that's correct English. Yeah, those learned ones will tell us better. The main issue out of here is that you have ZZ2 that has blocked the water streaming down to other farmers of your new beneficiaries of the land reform. That's the main issue here. Do I read it correctly?
Yeah.
So the rest of is just background and precedents here and there. I guess the main concern, or rather, yeah, from the committee here is whether you were able to make any move in correcting the wrong. How would you respond to that?
Yeah, it's part of the, thank you very much. It is part of
making it long.
Yeah, it's part of the recommendation. When you look at
what did you do without having to tell us about recommendations and plans? What is now the situation? Are they receiving water?
Yeah, so far now what we have done now, we are now busy working with those people with the intention that as soon as possible we're going to now be writing letters to. They have not receiving water.
Are they receiving water?
No, not yet.
Why?
Not yet. What we noted is that in that area,
the department is busy now intending to write letters of unlawful water use by those people who are part and parcel of the debt school. So the letter has already been finalized. We are hoping that around March, those letters will have been finalized, will have been submitted to all of them, and then those committees will now start receiving water, because we also decided in working with the people that we are planning to go and look at those illegal dams with an intention to ensure that, you know, the water becomes available.
I have got a computer here. How long does it take to write just a letter? It's almost, when we went there, it's almost 8 or 6, more than 6 months ago. How long does it take to write a letter informing people to get water?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the issue around the Middle East Harbor then is not only caused by ZZ2, but the other issue, I think, that we discovered the day we were on oversight, is that people around Middle East Harbor Dam, they are not receiving water from that particular dam, but people that are far away from the dam, in Vembe region, they are receiving water. Why are they not receiving water from the nearby dam, instead of only people who are that far receiving water? I think that one, it only needs the department to make their correction in their connections.
Ma'am, caller, not at
Chairperson, just shortly, I thought that the gentleman who is before us was going to tell us what have they done, have they been able to fix the boreholes, because as we speak, people of Limpopo do not have water or are not enjoying the water that they should be having. And Chairperson, to say to us that he's still sending emails or he's still communicating with her and so, that is not helping us because people are suffering and people need water.
Manana, noted, Mr. Makonda.
Thanks, Chair. Chairperson, I think this must be corrected. This issue of having a dam in this village, and the nearby village getting water from, not getting water from the nearby dam, and the village that is far from that dam, they are getting water. I think this needs to be corrected. Like an example, I can put an example with Trikopis Dam. I'm from the Three Copies. We are next to that dam, but there is no water. But there are people who are the village that are far from Three Copies are getting water that comes from that dam. I think that needs to be corrected. Thank you.
Mr. Makonda.
Thanks, Chair. Chair. Umlawu zobamba zona azipare zobazambana
Winda.
you see, Chair, you have asked a question, and it was a straightforward question that needed a straightforward answer. But I can't understand why he can't respond to that question. What have they done after 6 months? Rather than to relate a story that we all know, what have you done to correct the situation? You see, it's even much better when it's him who is speaking, because he understands, he knows the place that he's talking about. He even knows the middle of Tababen. The question is, what have you done to correct what is wrong in that situation? You can explain these other things unless you want to tell us that in the current legislation, there's nothing that can be done. You must say so. Don't chimbri chimbri. You must just say exactly. Thanks, Chair.
Maybe one direct question that must be addressed to you, Mr. Mlawutsi, through your DG. Is it legal for ZZ2 to do what they have done?
Chair, thank you very much. I noted that there is, this matter is much more serious. Just to start by answering the last question, Chair, it is illegal. It is illegal what ZZ has done.
Legal or illegal?
Illegal.
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 And you're not fixing.
Illegal.
What have you done?
No, so what was noted was that one of the, no, there are some challenges that we are facing as a department. I wanted to take this opportunity to indicate the following challenges that we are facing as a department. That in that area, we have not finalized the certification, validation, and verification. We have also realized that, no, there is also a need for us as a department to do reallocation, water reallocation reforms in that area. It is the matter that we are busy now working as a region, together with Limpopo and then also our colleagues from Pretoria. We are just hoping that, you know, within a short space of time, we're going to be finalizing these issues of compulsory licensing to all the users in that area. So this is the matter that we are busy now discussing with our colleagues from head office. It's unfortunate that this process, Chair and members, is taking.
What do you mean when you say within a short space of time? What do you mean by that, precisely?
I might have to request the DDG for regulation to assist me on that, because it is under management. That's what like to do.
Yes, sir.
Can I also do some thinking? In answering the question of...
Introduce yourself first.
Okay, I'm Lisiba Richard Kluwa, the acting provincial head of Limpopo province. So we're working together on that sub-catchment because we're sharing it. And I want to answer the question on what did you do since your last visit. It was mentioned in that visit that there are dams. Yes, we went on site. We did investigation. And we managed to find about 7 dams, including the Lona Dam. And then we also went and do the inspection together with Lebele Northern Water. And verification of whether it's the water abstraction from both the dams as well as the groundwater are they authorized to do that? When we check the background, they are falling within the existing lawful water use, which is they are authorized prior to the implementation of the National Water Act of 1998. Then the process, as part of the exercise that we verified, they are pumping water from the groundwater. They are also transferring water to store from this dam to another dam, and they've been authorized for a certain amount of water to be utilized. But the critical matter or the challenge is each and every obstruction and the usage of those dams, they are not measured. So it came to us as a point to say that, meaning that the tool is not complying. We are not sure if they are complying in terms of the actual usage of the authorized water in terms of the licenses. Then we are saying, then we are going to recommend that we rather have to put the meters in each and every abstraction point, so that, and also the other exercise that we can do is, after doing the assessment, is to check the pump capacity, so that we can know the pumping rate and estimate in a month. This can be the actual abstraction or the pumping of this water for water usage. Then one can be able to determine if whether these guys, the other two, are over-abstracting or over-utilizing the water. It's one of the exercises that we are going to continuously doing together with the NEPEL. And also the recommendation that we also have in place is we need to put the meters. Because now, for them to be withdrawn the water use right, we need to restart the process of relicensing, which the verification and validation process, it will end of June 2019.
Stuck in the story. Yes, madam.
Yes, and honorable members, also to add to the colleagues, just to say Minister has gazetted a notice to all institutions and users so that they can monitor the usage of water, including installation of meters and reporting on the amount of water that is being used. That gazette notice has been published. It's also applicable to the city of Cape Town. Secondly, we are strengthening our monitoring, because Chair, this is where there has been a problem in terms of compliance monitoring with a limited capacity on the blue scorpions that we have. We are strengthening that. We are introducing a new technology of drones that is innovation. We are still learning how it's going to happen, but it has been conceptualized at a national level where it is going to help us in terms of measuring the usage of water in that particular area.
The unstuck in the story. Mrs. Mahawa? Noted, Mr. Mguna.
Udula Chiduro. Ango, however, to Nendo Zita Zorabu Kambazon. Vote. Our Mufuma Kazina when the Wambazori, O Minister, O Thomas Muzi, to Nedico Toto Divazori. Ona the document is our name, Nakana Votozi Ambassy. Another thing, Nuri, as you watch Kwamba Womra would be not the department yote. We not database, yes, it is over Kwambangas. Wambanga 7 then. Is there asset register? of that, the number of them that we're talking about in Gipombo. If there is a record, the koto do we want? Pronete is obudzi wa pedi, reso kofiwa, hama bambiri, rea vara, rea kono vara, mdugare, ngarine vane, kezo.
Enko. And Mr. Magon, before he is going to translate for all of us. Yeah, do the translation and not respond.
Colleagues, let me translate. Thank you very much. I'm the only person who can translate what...
No introduction, no preamble. Translate. Don't grandstand here.
No, I just... she's asking if whether we have got an asset register for all the terms that we are having. And then secondly, she's also asking if whether that which was being reported by the ACDC Foundation, whether there is documents which are available, because she's saying that no, she's very tired, that she's just been informed that there are things which the department is doing, but in most instances, those information, they are not available when they are needed. So that was the essence of what she was saying. Thank you.
Ngo.
Good. Hey, Chairperson. In my home language, this word, indendende, indendende, unfinished story from steamer. You see, you were very clean and clear. What have you done since then? Gazettes are coming in now. Many things are coming in. Nothing is tangible. No, we've done 1, 2, 3. In fact, what we did is your job. It's your responsibility. You know, we came here and gave you this line of march. You failed to deal with the line of march. We even told them somewhere upstream. Immediately down is not becoming full. Because it looks like this ZZ2 has diverted water. We even told them that. Diverted water upstream. Instead of them going to check where is this thing happening, how can we deal with those issues, they're telling us that it's taking more than six months just to write a letter. I wonder if you have secretaries in your offices. Just to write a letter telling them this is what is happening, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You monitor what you have already monitored. I mean, Chairperson, there is no commitment in this department. Really, no commitment whatsoever. Because what we're expecting now is for you to say, no, for this point, this has happened. For that, we are still attending to this one, but this is how we have started. Not to shout out to tell us, this is a fairy tale. Uno kwacha, wakichimisa inja. Next time, inja, ikichimisa uno kwacha. Then we all, who is running after who now? Thank you, Jeff.
Mam Kaula?
Ngibonge sihlalo. Angangeni njalo emxholweni. Ngisabhekene nalendoda ephambi kwami, Mr. Mlawuza. Mina ngifuna ukukutshela nje iqiniso. First number one, njengoba sisuke siphuma la eCape Town, siya kwi-oversight. Suke singayi kodlala. I-concern yethu noma inhloso yethu ukusuka siyobheka ukuthi le zinto esikhuluma ngazo la iParliament ziyenzeka yini phansi na. But mangithi ngiyabuka lana, ngicela nje ungixolele, mangithi ngiyabuka la as ama-official nalento okujabulela ukuthi nama-DDG acting DDG, ngithathe lento niyibeke ekhanda, nikhohlwe ukuthi nisebenza nabantu abayithina esifuna ukuthi into esiyikhulumayo kubantu zenzeke. Next year siya kuma-election. Yizo zonke into abazobe besishaya ngazo lezi. Yabona nje kokuqala, mina bengithi uzongitshela ukuthi ngoba nakho uyasho ukuthi uyakubuza usihlalo la English yenu uthi usemthethweni uthi kuthathe umfula okufanele uye la usize laba bantu abangenawo amanzi. Uzothi wena no akukho emthethweni. Benithi uzothi ekugcineni ayi akukho emthethweni kodwa sikona icala sesilivulile. Nayi case number. Yayizwa loo nto. Because phela le asizile uzodlala. Secondly, ngoba njengoba sila awuvele ube yimemba yephalamende, uqala phansi usebenze, wazi zonke iy'nkinga zaphansi. Manje le nto ngiphatha kambi ngawe ngoba ma ngithi ngiyakubheka sangathi wena uza nje ukuthi hhayi ngizobashayashaya nje wena. No, ayikho isikhathi sokusishayashaya lana. Uyabona inkinga elapha egiyani inzima. Kusenombuzo futhi ezobuza kuwena. Yiphi yilo khuzani into ezizoyithola wena ngoba wena umele ukhokhe. Kufanele lana sazi ukuthi uma size la, siyazi ukuthi yini eyenzakalayo. Kuyimanje ngakubuza ngeNandon Dam, labantu abamuva khona. Awuzunginika futhi ilokhuze answer right. Uzothi umkhize la, hayi ngempela labo bantu sesabakhokhela sayizenza izindlu zamacrack. Sithi sibuza wena-ke ukuthi ngempela wena labo bantu uqinisile umkhize, uzothi awazi lutho. Kanti wena ngempela umsebenzi wakho yini la? Ukugibela ibhanoyi? Noma masilapha sihamba kwi-oversight nawo khona? No, ayeke sivume phela kudlalwa ngemali zabakhokhi bentela. Umbuzo wami uthi kanti wena uzimisele ngani? Nothi njengoba silana sizithanda ukuhlala lana. Abantu abanawo amanzi egiyane. Abantu basemalamulela. Okufana ngabe umfula uyadlula kungcono bayiphuzele amanzi akomfula. Awekho amanzi. Okwesibili engizokugcina ngilokho engifuna ungiphendule. Ngabe la manzi asalawulwa yini uhulumeni obandlululo yini na? Ngoba manje uhulumeni ukhombisa ukuthi lo okhona khona nina kuona abantu bakithi abamnyama bayathola amanzi. Kusho ukuthi ngamanye amazwi le nkululeko esasilwela ngo-94 ayikho. Ni-arms fault bese nifika lenizosishayashaya. Uyabona njengoba sila sizosebenza azizile ukuzodlala. Ngiyabonga.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I just wish to say that I haven't got into the crux of my questions, which I'm still going to ask you in no distant future. I just wish to state it categorically to you that as the representatives of the people, when we go on oversight, it's not because of fun or just occasion. We are going there to represent our people because we have our people interest at heart. And what is important that I wanted to hear from you is tangible report as to what you guys have done. If I were to ask, like for example, the chairperson asked you about the ZZ2 and your response is just basically he asked you about pertinent questions about ZZ2 and your response is basically negative. And if I ask you about Nandoni Dam, so basically what is your function and what have you been able to achieve, because that is what we want to hear here as a committee. As we speak, our people don't have water. We are not here to play. And I'm not sure if what you do basically is to just to enjoy to fly to Cape Town without giving us pertinent information. Thank you.
How would you summarize your response, TJ? You see, the concern that members are raising here is that we're dealing with serious issues. I'm seated here thinking that the act by ZZ2 is illegal, that we saw the beneficiary of the land reform and how he is struggling with the team that he works with, that we've seen the dam and its capacity due to lack of streaming of that water downstream. And clearly there you have a challenge that warranted urgent attention. I'm seated here thinking this situation is very similar to that of having to pay your service providers very late. You're killing them. You're killing that farmer. You're killing those communities surrounding that area. For us to receive such a long-winded response to a simple question that you yourselves are confirming that what ZZ2 is doing is illegal,
you cannot tell us that you are taking more than 6 months to bring solution to that problem. You cannot tell us that. If you tell us that, and willfully so, it tells us one thing and one thing alone, that you are not serious about your job. Whether you're going to have the what do you call that gazette today or last week from the minister, whether you're going to tell us, you know, all the stories you're telling us, it all boils down to one thing, that you are not serious with your work. And you are not taking us serious. Let alone taking those communities serious. It means a lot that you are doing is so wrong. Those expected to be doing that kind of work and are not doing it, they must simply just be set aside, and others that are supposed to be doing the work must do the work within a period of 1 month. Let us hear a positive story, not the second story that we've been listening to. Can we agree to that, members? In a period of 1 month, we should allow the department to come back to us and tell us a good story. Today is the 21st of February. Clearly, the 21st sits on a holiday time, and clearly it tells us that we shall have to be back here on a Tuesday before we go away. Effectively, before we rise, I take it that we are rising on that 20th of March. For the following week is a period that Madia shall tell us about the study tour. That is now when we are done with our meeting. Just 5 minutes after we are done, we just remain behind, and then Madia shall tell us one or other two things. So can we agree that on the 20th we shall have to come back and listen? But also what that means is that we need to get that report a week before, so that we have enough time for us to look at that report. Are we fine with that? Mamu Makhabana?
Chairperson, on slide number 13, under National Water Act, I just want to get clarity as to which one is right, the illegal thing and the legal thing. Because the second paragraph there, the ones that is the water uses of taking being exercised by ZZ2 farming Mukete has been confirmed as a continuation of water use as existing lawful use, ELU, and confirmation letters has been issued guided by section 35(4) of the National Water Act 36 of 1998. Can we be privileged as the committee about the ELU? Because it's like now we're not sure whether it's lawful or unlawful. Thanks.
Thanks, Chairperson. I also mentioned about this to say most of the water uses activities around there, they are existing lawful water use, meaning that they've been authorized before the proclamation of the National Water Act 36 of 1998. They had that authorization by Water Act 54 of 1956. Then it continued, and there's a section on the National Water Act of 36 of 1998 covering the existing lawful water use continued from the Water Act of 1956. Maybe Mr. Tobu can clarify it better than I can. but that is the indication, meaning that they are lawful activities.
Yes, Chair, I agree. They will continue to be legal, Chair, until we change or revise the current legislation. So if you were using water prior to the 1998, therefore you, if 2 years before the Act was promulgated, you have a status of an existing lawful use. So it's, yeah. So until we revise the Act, which, Chair, we are trying to revise now, then the status continues.
Chairperson, the statement that they are trying to revise, are they revising it? Or they are the word we are trying, to me, it doesn't come.
How do you align this and the earlier statement that says it is illegal, that what says that we is doing?
Chair, what is not confirmed is the quantity. This is why we are saying the verification and validation of water still needs to be done. We authorize them for a certain amount of water, but because they did not have measuring tools, this is why we have issued a gazette to say you must measure
what,
the amount.
What we are asking is simple. Where is it legal that ZZ2 has blocked water from downstream usage? You have said it is illegal. Is that correct, Mr. Bosa?
Chairperson, as I understand it, it is legal unless they use more water than they were allocated. So the department don't know whether they are using more water, and the department must come back to say that they are allocated so many cubic meters of water and they are using so much more water, and that would be illegal, using more water. And that was also the court ruling on the Lemoensoek. And it's exactly correct to say that if you used water 2 years prior to the new Act coming in, you don't need to apply for a water license. You automatically are covered under the new Act because you utilized water 2 years prior to the new Act coming into place. But she's correct to say that we can amend that in the new Act. We did discuss this matter on the Lemoensoek, where we asked, why don't we make an amendment to the Act now? Now, I'm still asking, why don't we do an amendment to the Act now? Last time they said, because they'll bring the new legislation. Now, Chair, I'm not sure whether we're going to get it this year, next year, over 5 years. So I still don't know why they don't do an amendment now, where they request all water users to apply for a water license. Then we will know who owns the water, who's got the right to water. Not to own the water, but who's got legal right to utilize water.
Can we get the department to bring the draft legislation to us tomorrow? Can we get the department to bring that draft legislation to us tomorrow? Are we fine with that, DG? Thank you. Can we also agree that on the 20th of March, we shall have to get a feedback from the department on all of the issues that we're dealing with? No excuse. No secondary stories. All what we want to hear is action. We have done, not we have planned or we are planning. We have done the following. Not we are planning, not there is a gazette, not there is a plan that is to come. Are we fine with that, members? Mr. Basson?
Chairperson, just now there was a statement made that ZCC2, if I understood it correct, and if I'm wrong, then I apologize,
is that ZCC or ZZ2 is stealing water. And if that is the case, it should be withdrawn, because this is minuted. And if we don't deal with it, it's now been established that they've got the right to use water, although they don't know how much they are using.
Okay, can you just get one specific matter cleared out once and for all? Are they also redirecting that water for any catchment? Or a dam or something to that effect? So just a specific direct question. Is this a two redirecting the water that they have been using more towards the catchment?
There are tributaries within that system, and these seven dams are located within different tributaries, and which are forming confluence to support or to allow the flow to Middle Letaba Dam. And what they are doing, they are pumping water in between the system from this dam to this dam, so that if this dam goes low, then they feed with the other dam. And also, they're also getting water from the groundwater, from the boreholes, which they are pumping the water from the boreholes to those surface dams and use their surface pumping system for irrigation. So the crux of the matter, Chair, which is part of the response that we need to also come back with, is to establish the quantity in terms of how much are they pumping to all those storage dams.
Can that response also come with a direction that says those beneficiaries of that land reform also are now able to receive water? Can we also have that? Okay, there are two things that are happening out of this session. DG, you might be having another submission, I'm not too sure. You shall guide us. This one was only on ZZ2 and all what has been happening there. The one thing that is happening tomorrow is that we're going to get the legislation, draft legislation before us. We shall receive it, and then we shall distribute it to members. We shall start a process. The second issue is that on the 20th of March, we shall have to come back again here. We will have to arrange, understandably, so that other members have committees that are sitting on Tuesdays. If it means a meeting over lunch period of time, we shall have to do that, maybe 12 until 2. Let's see, just specifically just to handle this report, if that is fine. We will have to arrange accordingly. Okay, DG, thanks for that. If you are okay with the rest of your submissions.
Chair, the submission on Mopani and Nandoni won't take long.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. With the permission of the DG, I will take you through, and I won't take more than 10 minutes. The point that was raised in relation to what are we doing in respect of the communities that are meant to be served by the Nandoni water scheme. As a way of a background, members would recall the scheme, when it was designed, the intention was that it must feed the three regions in Limpopo, which is Capricorn, the area of Mutlogwa, Vembe, where it is located, as well as Mopani. What we are doing, as the Lepello Northern Water is instructed by the department, there is a pipeline that we are running, which is going to stretch for a kilometer distance of 60 kilometers from Nandoni to Nsami. but before it can get to Nsami, it will be branching to Malamulele area to feed not less than 35 villages that were not getting proper water supply, and it will extend to Giani to feed the 55 villages that are the focus of the intervention. The reason why we have to stress this to Giani is mainly because of the fact that during winter season, Giani has proven to be prone to drought, and as a result, there is a need for augmentation by way of this pipeline. Some of the challenges that we have been encountering in relation to this project is what you have already touched on, Honorable Chair, is the delayed payment which we have resolved. Currently there isn't anything that we owe to the contractor, and the work is continuing on site. And again, we have had some community uprisings that has contributed to the delay, because the villages around the scheme, their king wanted to understand what then is going to happen in relation to his communities if we are drawing a pipeline down to Giani, to, according to his assumption, exclusion of those that should be the primary beneficiary of the water supply. This point Mr. Drubatla will address in detail because he has detailed information around it. The last and related point, Chair, is the last but one point on this report. What is Mopani doing in order to make sure that they facilitate the reticulation from the Giani main supply line in order to ensure water supply to affected communities? There is a multi-stakeholder engagement that we have had with Mopani, DWS, and COCTA and MISA. Is it MISA now? Yes, to make sure that we have got, we explore the avenues for multi-revenue streams, which will help Mopani to make sure that at the point where we end with our intervention, they take the reticulation work forward. The interaction is ongoing. We will be meeting again next week, and we'll be able to give the portfolio committee further information on the process. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thanks for that. Straightforward feedback. You are rounding up as part of the Limpopo.
He reported, especially around about the villages around Nandoni. The matter has been discussed together with Lepele and Vembe District Municipality as the water service authorities, and there are some actions that Vembe is currently doing about all these villages. I'm not going to read each and every one because there are about 17 villages, and the state has some of these villages are getting the water 24 hours, some is 3 hours, but the in order to address the full supplies, and others are getting water from the communal standpipes. In order for the full supply for the future plans from the municipality, they are saying that they are currently busy with the budget maintenance to address the remaining scope of work, meaning that the access to water is not 100% to date as a report, but the municipality is working on the budget maintenance so that they can address the remaining scope of work. Most of all, these projects are implemented through the MIG projects. Yes, that is summary. And then on Mopani, yes, the bilaterals, yes, are there, together with Cox, Tamisa, and Lepele, and the Department of Water and Sanitation. But we also assist in the municipality with our grants on the WSIG, which they are also doing some work on the reticulation. And they've got their plans in place, which they put in place to say that by 2017, 2018, 2019, and 2020, that is the MTF period. And for this year, there are some projects that they are implementing the projects.
which the total allocation for them from their side to do the WSIG is about 32.8 million based on what we transferred to them. The current year 5B budget allocation for them is 97 million, and the department we have transferred about 57 million to Mopani District Municipality for these interventions on the water supply, so that communities that are mentioned on this plan can be able to access water. Thank you. Chair, we will submit this action plan from the municipality. My apology for that.
Thanks for that. On page 16 of our report, page 16 of our report talks to some concerns that we raised about maintenance and also the rising costs of the Giani project because of the delays. And there was also a mentioning made about the illegal connections. How far did we go in resolving those issues? And to be concluded, there would be the issue related to vandalism. How far did we go with all of those issues?
Thanks, Chair. We have interacted with the district municipality, particularly in relation to vandalism. Councillors have made a commitment that they will carry out a community imbuso type of an interaction where they couch the communities in relation to the dangers of vandalizing the very property that is supposed to give them security of water supply in the space. Next week, we are back before this committee, Lebello Northern Water, will give the first update as to what an extent have they been able to perform this responsibility. The other point on illegal connections, Chair, this one is a tough one, I must confess to members. Because until we run the reticulation in the space, this illegal connection is so far one of the most popular ways by which or through which the community members are able to receive water. Unfortunately, that is the situation. Hence our determination to have a multi-stakeholder engagement with COGTA and MISA to make sure that Mopani is ready to run through with reticulation the moment we complete the intervention in relation to the bulk infrastructure. On the increasing costs in relation to the Giani projects, well, that was the situation just up to the point when the portfolio committee was in the space. Since then, we have resolved our payment issues with the service providers, and we have never experienced this glitch in relation to delayed payments any further. The project currently is standing overall at 92% completion. In no time, the first phase of the intervention will be coming to an end around February 2018. Thank you, Chair. Which is this month.
No longer December.
No, Chair, it's no longer December because we had to push the date further down to February as a result of the very point that you raised, the effect of the delay payment on the project progress.
If I were just to ask on a separate issue, going forward, this has having been an emergency program for quite some time. Mentioning was made about the fact that come this year, you are now going to go open in the public bidding process that concludes phase three, am I right? Phase two of the project. Okay, can you just give us some bit of light on that specifically? To just get us in the loop.
Thank you, Chair. Phase one is not yet completed. Lipenor and Water has given us a close-out report in terms of finishing off the work in phase one. The work is continuing there, but on phase two, which is non-emergency part, that we are still engaging Treasury in terms of seeking additional funding to carry out the phase two, and that work will go on an open tender. But we can't go out until we secure the funding for it. But it is planned to happen in this financial year that is going to start 18-19.
Okay, that should be it, members, if there is anything else on the matter. Mamana?
Thanks, Chair. It's just one comment on the issue of illegal connections. I think it's not going to assist the committee to keep on calling the department together with COGTA to come and account on this issue of illegal connections. I will advise that the Department of Water and Sanitation, they must just convene a meeting with COGTA, because every illegal connection is happening in each and every ward, and where there are these pipes from the COGTA, they must sit down and sort this thing, because some of the MMCs in the municipality, they are not capable to do their job, because even if you can come across with some communities doing this illegal connection, you report this to the municipality, but they are not taking any action. They must just insist, go and sit down with the COGTA. Thank you.
Mrs. Mahaban, sorry.
Chairperson, I think the issue raised by Honorable Manan, it needs serious attention with the department together with COPS, because I think everywhere you'll find that challenge. As long as communities are growing, we'll keep on coming across the challenge of illegal connections. But I think COPTA and the department must find a way of dealing with that. I also wanted to check the state of or the percentage of the pipeline, the Nandoni-Sami one, as to how far is it. Another thing is the outcry around Nandoni. By the time we were there, the communities around Nandoni, they were complaining of not receiving water from Nandoni. How far is Lepele or the department correcting that issue, or making sure that at the end of the day those communities are to receive water? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Chair. The issue of COPTA and the department meeting, we have already started. That's the meeting that the CEO of Lepele is referring to. It is not only in Lepopo, it is in various other communities, Eastern Cape, primarily Eastern Cape, Limpopo, Skukuni, Vembe, Mopani, where the department has gone ahead and put bulk pipelines, but reticulation is still lagging behind. The meetings are taking place, but they are just meetings. Hence the request to say, if perhaps we can also get support from the committee
wherein we are called on a regular basis to report specifically on those areas where we have gone ahead. Because these meetings have been taking place for more than a year now. We are meeting, we are all agreeing that it must be accelerated. But that those meetings must eventually culminate into the change of budget. You must then see that the MEEC allocations are then a bias towards those areas. Because if we don't then shift the MEEC budgets to those areas where they are already piped, but there is no reticulation, then it becomes a problem. A classic case is also the one that we mentioned, the one of Gauteng, where there are urgent issues that must be attended to by our MEEC colleagues. But again, they will then say, no, it will come after 3 years. But then there's bulk. Now, we will really need assistance in terms of maybe repackaging and maybe programatizing to say, let us eradicate any reticulation backlog. A reticulation backlog is primarily where there's bulk already. That where there's bulk, let's just put reticulation, and the money goes there. Maybe we put a program to say over 3 years, we'll remove that. On the issue of the communities around Nandoni, when are they going to receive water? The municipality responsible for that is Vembe. But then what we have done, which was under tremendous pressure, was to say, because earlier on the community of Malamlele was not included in the Nandoni Nsami pipeline in the first design. Hence there was delays. We then redesigned that pipeline to accommodate the community of Malamlele. The CE of Lepele will give us just the percentage, but work is progressing. I am actually under pressure because that contractor also is saying, I can actually finish this year if you give me more money. That is the challenge we are having because we don't have more money. Now he is actually trying to push us to break the law and take money from other provinces, and we can't do that. So we have said you will have to perform according to what is available as a budget. But we are hoping that we'll be finished on time. But we are taking care of those communities. The challenge again is that that's why we're saying Vembe's Kukune Mobile. If Vembe is not ready with reticulation, Nandoni Nsami exercise will also be a futile exercise. Because somebody now must take water. Remember, Nandoni Nsami is bulk. Somebody must take water from Nandoni Nsami to the communities. Now, it can't be that you will then say, let's look at what was in your in your WSDP and your IDP. It can't. I think what we're requesting from our colleagues from COCTA is business unusual under the circumstances.
Okay.
Thanks, Chair. Through the DG, the progress on site is standing at 39%. Following the glitches that we had with the service provider, as part of the settlement agreement, we required him to submit a revised work plan with a milestone properly scheduled, and we are strict on that in terms of the project management and monitoring. The timelines for completion is April 2019. And this will be achievable given the fact that we demanded that he should add resources to make sure that we do not push this completion timeline any further. The last point I wanted to raise, Chair, in our interaction with the organs of state that the DG and I made mention of in relation to mobilization of resources to enable Mopani to take the project forward, we rallying them behind the completed designs that we have, both for indigent, which in terms of the existing rules, they should need to walk a distance of more than 200 meters to go and fetch water, and also those that are resident in the area, which by look of things, they can afford to pay this water, and as a result, they can have it. They can have the connection within their yards. So we have got both the designs and our interaction is primarily around the two. Thanks very much.
Okay. I think we have moved
a great deal in tackling the issues for the day. Yes, there are other issues that are still outstanding, which is a work in progress. I can mention but a few. There is a Mutau Commission that must still come to this meeting, a report thereof. There are issues related to the AG's report, the matter of your Bloomwater Chief Executive Officer. The legislation process must begin in earnest, with us receiving a copy of such tomorrow. And the charges, further charges of your DDGs and the DG, and the settlement offer for the DG. Some of those have since been circulated by media. I think we've done a great deal. What I shall request we do as we adjourn our meeting with a hope, not a hope, with an understanding that we are coming back together again next week. There are annual reports of your water boards that are going to be entertained by this committee. We shall also, before we start those meetings of next week, just deal with those, give ourselves an hour. If we can also begin our, or rather start with our meeting on at 9, just to dispense off with these other issues expected for us. Madia is reminding me that scope on the 27th of February, the report having been circulated, I hope and trust that we all did receive, that is now the briefing by the department to that 27th. Feel free, we are extended an invitation. SCOPA conducts its meetings in the manner in which they do. We are members of parliament. We do reserve the right to be part of that meeting as well. Just have to see how best we handle that meeting. We shall do that. What I shall request we do as we move out of our meeting, I don't think we shall be able to deal with the matter of minutes. We shall request only two people from non-members of parliament to remain with us. That is now the DG and Mrs. Mate. Otherwise, the meeting is adjourned. We can start moving and communicate outside if you don't mind, so that in the interest of time we are saving.
Thank you.
Uchoki is an honorary member. Uchoki is a horrible member. Horrible member. Do you listen to the chief, Butelezi?
Yeah.
When he calls members, horrible members, horrible members. Horrible. You will never hear him say, honorable, horrible, horrible. Can we maybe all move out non-members, strictly? Including you, Madhya? Including you? Don't sit down. Yeah, you're coming back. You shall come back for your bags, if you don't mind, and you can bring your door with you. You will come back with your bags, if you don't mind leaving your bags. And close the door if you don't mind. Thank you.